Dias. Translating for Oscar till he gets back there. I invite you to take your Bibles this morning. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to address all, 24 verses. Don't get scared. We'll go through the last few quicker. As time expires, I'll go faster. I won't talk any faster, but I'll move faster. Get ready. Are you ready? There's a lot of things when you say get ready. Brand new year. Congratulations. You are here this morning. You are able to attend church every Sunday of the new year because you're here on the first Sunday of the new year. Isn't that great? You might not make every Sunday, but your goal, that's our goal, be at church every Sunday. We'll talk in a few minutes why. So this time of year, this is my introduction to my introduction, so this isn't written, Oscar, sorry. This time of year, you have a massive amount of people signing up for the gym because we're going to do it. We're going to lose that weight. We're going to get in shape. 2026 is finally going to be the year. And then by end of February, March, all those crowded machines that was at your club, you're at wherever you go, they're now empty. I get ahead of everybody. I just don't ever sign up for it to start with. I used to have a membership that I ignored. One of the themes when we were doing the sermon series in the book of Proverbs was laziness. Most of the time when we think about laziness, we think of someone who's not willing to work. The Apostle Paul in our passage before us addresses this. And then also in his second letter to the church of Thessalonica, the scripture reading was talking about having a good work ethic. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on a physical work ethic. So if you're afraid, oh no, here it comes. I got to find a job. I got to get busy. We're not going to touch on that very much at all. I believe if we're not careful in our Christian life, we can develop a kind of spiritual laziness. The dangers of spiritual laziness has far more deeper and long-lasting consequences than physical laziness. So today I hope to encourage you and warn you against spiritual laziness. Physical laziness will make you to be physically hungry. Spiritual laziness will leave you spiritually hungry. But it has more consequences on your soul than being physically lazy. The Christian life is hard. It's going to be the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life is follow Christ. That's why when we talk about getting ready, Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica about getting ready for when the Lord comes back. A lot of times when we think of the living life, we think of the immediate, what we're doing today, what we're doing tomorrow. it's so important to understand when we are following Christ, we're in it for the long haul. We're in it for the long run. We're in it till the end. There's some famous pastor of a church in Chicago, his motto is don't quit. And that is so true. And as Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, he's encouraging them of what they need to do to get ready for when Christ does come back. And that's what we're going to look at for a few minutes. The first thing we want to talk about is get ready, because we don't know when Jesus will return. Get ready because we don't know when Jesus will return. Look at the first part of chapter 5, the first couple of verses. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. You know the reason why Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica? Somebody had came and told the church at Thessalonica, you've missed Jesus' return. You missed it. He came, he went, you missed it. Can you believe somebody would tell them that? And then the bigger thing is they believed it. They were believing it. So Paul writes two letters to this church saying, calm down, guys. You didn't miss it. He also explains that, you know, when God comes for Christ followers, when Jesus returns, you're not going to miss it. He says, but since you haven't missed the return of Christ, there's some things you need to be doing to get ready for his return. We don't know when Jesus will return. That's why in verse number 1 of chapter 5, Paul says, guys, I don't need to tell you about the times and dates for Jesus' return. I'm not even going to discuss it because we don't know. He's going to come like the thief in the night. So if somebody tells you, hey, I know when Jesus is coming back, I know the date, and there have been books written about it. Oh, Jesus is going to come this date, this time. I mean, Jesus himself said, hey, guys, I'm not going to tell you the date and the time. Nobody knows. It's going to be like a thief. If somebody's going to break into your house and they send you a letter next Monday night, I'm going to break into your house at 10 o'clock. I'm just letting you know. I mean, you're going to be sitting on the front porch with the police, and then here they show up at 10 o'clock next Monday night. I'm here. We do not know when Christ is going to return. We know he's coming. He's promised. Paul is saying Christ is going to return. That's why you need to get ready. But as far as trying to figure out the dates and the times, don't waste your time on that. Because we don't know. It's going to be like a thief in the night, he says at the end of verse number 2. It's going to be when people, verse 3, when people are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come. So we don't know when Christ is going to return. Look at verse number 4. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. So this morning, if you've not accepted Christ into your heart to forgive you of your sins, then you are in spiritual darkness because you don't have a relationship with Christ. And you haven't got your sins forgiven. Jesus wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants to take you out of the spiritual darkness and bring you into the spiritual life of forgiveness. But as Christ followers, that's why in verse 4 Paul says, brothers and sisters. As Christ followers, we're not in darkness anymore. We've been forgiven. Christ has came, and he's the light of the world, and he gave us his light. We're not in darkness. We shouldn't be surprised like a thief when Christ returns. Look at verse number 5. He goes on to explain, you are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong in the night or to the darkness. If you are a Christ follower, you have asked Christ to forgive you of your heart, and you sincerely meant it. If you ask Christ to forgive you of your sins, to come into your heart, Christ did it. He promised he would. He forgave you of your sins. It's the gospel. If you did that, you are now children of the light, children of the day. And we do not belong to the night or to the darkness. Now, I know this isn't going to translate. And I've said this before, but I think it's a good way to help you understand what it means as a Christ follower, how to look at sin. So this isn't going to translate in Spanish, so however how Oscar says it, that's the way he says it. As a Christ follower, you are not going to be sinless. You're not going to be sinless. It would be nice the day you accepted Christ, a vacuum hose fell from the sky, latched onto your head, and sucked that old nature right out of you. No more old nature. It didn't happen. As a Christian, you are not going to be sinless. Now listen to this. Whew, loophole. I can do whatever I want because I'm not going to be sinless. Sometimes if we're not careful, we fall into that attitude. Well, I'm not perfect. I can't be sinless. I can't be without sin. Everybody's going to sin every now and then. We want to use that as a loophole. It's not a loophole. There is nothing in this Bible that will teach you, hey guys, every now and then, hey, Friday night, you can let a sin rip. It's okay. Everybody sins every now and then. It's okay. No, it's not a loophole. So, Christians are not sinless. Okay, here's the second part. But a Christ follower should sin less. But a Christ follower should sin less. You know why? Because you're not in darkness anymore. You are a child of the light. Christ died for your sins, to forgive you of your sins. So Paul is emphasizing that. You don't belong to the night anymore. You don't belong to the darkness. There is never an excuse for us to sin. There's not an excuse. Christ died for our sins. So look at verse number 6. He draws from this because we are children of light. Listen to verse number 6. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. Verse number 8. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober. You know what Paul is saying? We are children of the light. We are following Christ. We have no reason to sin anymore. Once we were forgiven, Christ wiped the slate clean, and the past is in the past. Paul says we should be awake and sober. You know what that word sober means? It means you are aware of what is coming in life. You are aware of what's important in life. You look at life from a different perspective. As Paul contrasts somebody that's drunk. The one thing that, you know, drugs, alcohol, what it does to us physically, it takes us out of control of ourselves. And Paul is using that picture to contrast, as Christ followers, we are sober. We are under the control of the Holy Spirit. We are choosing the things that God wants us to choose because we are children of light. So these are the reasons why we need to get ready, because we don't know when Jesus is going to return. We don't know. Do you want Christ to return and catch you in some kind of sin? We don't know when he's going to return. Could be 5, 10 years from now. So look at number two. Number two. Get ready by practicing faith, love, and hope. So get ready because we don't know when Jesus is coming. How do we get ready? By practicing faith, love, and hope. Look at the last part of verse number 8. Paul says, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. He says, let us be sober, let us put on faith and love and hope. Let's talk about faith for a minute. What is faith? Faith is being fully dependent on God. That's what faith is. If you're a Christ follower this morning, you've accepted Christ, and I hope that everybody here has done that. If you haven't, you can do that today. But if you're a Christ follower, you have faith in Christ on some level. And we're all at different levels in our walk with Christ. But what you are doing as a Christ follower is day in and day out, you are learning to be more dependent on God. You should be more dependent on God today than you were yesterday. That's what faith is. It's full dependence on God. And that's hard to do. But that's what faith is. That's how you practice your faith. Every year this time of year, and Pastor Dave has already started announcing it and encouraging you, is reading your Bible. On the back, there's all kinds of plans for you to be able to read your Bible. One way to practice your faith and learn how to depend on God more is reading and studying your Bible. I know you hear that all the time, but it's the truth. And, of course, we know teaching is by repetition. Hear the same things over and over and over again. But practice your faith by studying God's Word, reading His Bible. Because that helps you to learn how to be more dependent on God. It helps you to dig into your life and relationship with Christ on a deeper level, day in and day out. That's what faith is. And listen, there is so much darkness in this world. There is so much sin, and as a result, sadness. And the devil would not be more pleased than for us to get sucked into it. And it doesn't matter whether you're old or young. Sometimes we think as adults, well, you know, these young people, they just need to really dig deep in their faith because they have lots of challenges. That's true. But adults are the same way. We all have challenges. If we do not study God's Word, if we do not practice our faith and become dependent on Him in everything, 3, 4 years, 5, 10 years down the road, we might not be in church anymore. It happens. What's going to determine whether you're going to follow Christ from now until you breathe your last breath? What's going to determine that? By practicing your faith. That's how we get ready for Christ to return, is by practicing our faith, becoming more dependent on Christ. And Oscar can see me. It's not by doing this. In other words, hey, come get me, Jesus. Come take me home. No, it's by living out our faith day in and day out. He also talks about love, practicing love. Love is self-sacrificing efforts on behalf of God, fellow believers, plus the unsaved. That's what love is. It's self-sacrificing for each other. For those that aren't Christ followers, we're sacrificing so that they may understand who Christ is. That's what love is. I mention this all the time, and it's very important to understand this. Is everybody listening? You choose who you love.
Did you know that?
In our culture,
oh man, love is a feeling.
I mean, that's what our culture says love is. It's a feeling. If you've been in the stores lately, Christmas gone, Valentine's Day. That's what our culture teaches. Love is a feeling. Love is a feeling, but it's more than a feeling. It's a choice. God chose to love us. Jesus chose to die on the cross for us. And it's important for us to understand we choose who we love. And it's important that person is quote-unquote unlovable. We can choose to love them and show them the love of Christ. And then the third part of this is hope. It's interesting, Paul kind of makes faith and love like a breastplate. Because the breastplate guards the heart. Your faith comes from your heart. Love comes from your heart. It's your will, your heart. So Paul says, put a breastplate of love and faith over your heart. But then when he talks about hope, he says, it's a helmet. It's a helmet. Listen to this, the definition of hope. Confident expectation in God's hand in the future. Paul wasn't telling the church, well, guys, I hope Christ is going to come back. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. Paul didn't say that at all. He says, Christ promised us he's coming back. He's coming back. It's hope. It's not like, well, I hope so. In our society, the word hope means, well, I hope. I hope this happens. I hope the Bears make it to the Super Bowl. It's kind of a whimsical thing. But biblical hope is like a helmet that anchors our thoughts into Christ said he's coming back, he is coming back, and I've put my hope in Christ. The song we sang just a couple of minutes ago about speaking Jesus. One of the lines talks people in depression, talks about people in different areas of their life now. Sometimes life can get you down, get you discouraged. Sometimes life can throw things at you that are unexpected. And what Paul is saying here, we need hope as a helmet of salvation to remind us of who Jesus is and that he's there for us. And that's how we get ready for Christ to return. It's not about waiting around. It's about doing things to get ready for Christ to return. Practicing our faith. Practicing love for one another in the world. Anchoring our hope in Christ. Days of discouragement, you need to anchor your hope in Christ. That's why it's so important you read your Bible. The Bible's full of hope. Okay, number three. Get ready by participating in the body of Christ. How do you get ready for Christ to return? Participate in the body of Christ. Look at starting in verse number 10. And this is important to understand what Paul is saying here. Verse number 10. He died for us, talking about Jesus. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Christ died for us so that whether we're awake or asleep, we may live together for Him. Now, he's using the word asleep in this verse as talking about people that have already passed away. So it's a little bit different meaning than earlier when he's talking about those that are in darkness are asleep. When he says those that are awake, he's talking about the living. Those that are asleep, those that have already gone on to be with Christ. But Jesus died so that we could live together with Him. We can live together with Him. All through this passage, Paul is using personal pronouns, and it's all us, we, together. You see, Christianity is not lived out by itself. It's a community. We are a part of the body of Christ. The day you accepted Christ, you became part of the body of Christ. You became a brother. You became a sister. That's why Paul says brothers and sisters. You adopted a new family. And that's the reason why Christ died, so that we could live together with Christ. All of us live together with Christ. Look at verse number 11. This gives us the purpose for the church. This is why it's important. Look at verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another, build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. You know why it's so important to come to worship on Sundays? Number one, to glorify God, obviously. He deserves it. He gave us breath. He died on the cross for us. He deserves worship. So corporate worship is very important. The book of Hebrews says, don't neglect the gathering of yourselves together. I'm not trying to make you feel bad or be a pushy pastor. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. But corporate worship is important to glorify God. But Paul gives us another reason why it's important to get together each week is to encourage one another. To build each other up. If we are going to avoid spiritual laziness, we have got to take, and I'm going to take my glasses off. We have to take the glasses that Jesus looks through, the lens that Jesus looks through when he sees us, and we got to say, Jesus, help me see people the way you see people. Help me to be sensitive what's going on in other people's lives. And it's important for us to be sensitive as to what's going on in other people's lives. Why? So that we can encourage one another. We can build each other up. That's a huge part of church. That's why corporate worship is so important. We are a family. Don't be like your physically family that never has a reunion and never gets together. They always say that, man, why don't we do this more often? Well, we don't. But as Christ followers, it's so important that we come together and we encourage each other. We're in this together. What you got going on is important to me. What we have going on is important to you. We're all in this together. And that's what Paul is saying to the church here. That's how we get ready for Christ to return, by participating in the body of Christ. And I know I'm out of time, but he's going to go through some practical things in the next few verses. Verse 12 and 13, he says, hey guys, realize how hard your pastor is working for you. He says, verse 13, hold them in highest regard and love because of their work. And it's hard, and pastors never like to pat themselves on the back and, boy, look at this great job I'm doing. But Paul is telling the church here, hey guys, you need to be aware of what your pastor and his ministry does for you day in and day out. And I will say this, I am a pastor, so I can speak to this. It is so important that if you've got something going on, that you make us aware of it if we're not aware of it. Because we don't want to miss anything. We want to be there for you. And Pastor Dave has said it over and over again. You have something going on, he's going to be there. And then he says, live at peace with each other. In other words, be at peace with each other. If something comes up, work it out. Verse 14. Those who are idle and disruptive, don't be idle and disruptive. That's one of the things he says about getting a job. Some of the people that weren't actually working, you know, they were going around the church and gossiping and, you know, that's kind of what they were, as Paul says it in the passage we read this morning for our scripture reading, they were busybodies, but their bodies weren't busy. They weren't working. They were busybodies. And he says, warn those. In other words, encourage them. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. This is a big one. Be patient with everyone. That's hard sometimes to be patient. Patience is hard. Verse 15, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone. Boy, they did this to me, and I'm going to get them back. Paul says, don't pay back wrong for wrong. Do what's good for each other and for everyone. Then he keeps going, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for your in Christ Jesus. And let me read verse 23, and we'll kind of wrap it up. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. So why do we need to get ready? So when Christ comes back, and he is coming, we are living the way he intended for us to live. We are reaching those people that don't know Christ. We are encouraging each other. So in 2026, you're going to have a lot of opportunities to to live out the readiness for Christ's return. So we need to ask God through His Holy Spirit, Lord, help me be sensitive to Your Word. Help me be sensitive to other people's needs in our church. Help me to be faithful because You were faithful. And this time next year, if we do that, hopefully there'll be more people here in the church that didn't know Christ today. They'll know Him at the end of this year. People that have needs will have their needs met, whatever they are. Are you ready? Are you getting ready? Let's pray. Thank You, Lord, so much for Your Word. Thank You for the promise that You are going to return. Lord, help us as Christ followers to be faithful to You in 2026. Help us to pray. Help us to read our Bibles. Help us to worship You corporately. And help us to be there for each other this year. Help us to be sensitive to each other's needs. We just pray that if someone here today, they've not accepted You, we pray that today will be the day they ask You to forgive. They ask Your forgiveness and they accept You into their heart. What a really awesome thing would be today to follow You. Help us to be faithful to You. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.